defensive here. So we got to set up our fobs, or rather just radios with toes on them, and really go after their vehicles to win the fire superiority. It's almost like air superiority, but a toe superiority of the map.
Yeah, I feel like as the Russians, you pretty much have to get a toe set up right away if you want to secure them a lot quick.
Yeah. I'm hoping we can still do some more tweaks to that map so we can have a couple other areas that other than just the river valley area. Because I know they added some. I'm going to hopefully get some more layers in there too, but still the huge section to the northeast and northwest is underutilized. So it would be nice to see some more there. I think Iron Taxi already talked about it, so I can mention it. Yurovka Iho is going to get a lot of that kind of treatment where they have a lot of, it's going to open up the map so we have more areas to fight over. So that should be interesting. Okay.
Hello, Let's.
Hey, Gatsby's here. I was just going over a little bit of it, but Axton's here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good chat. I didn't.
Yeah, it's also really interesting.
No idea.
Have we started? I hope not.
No, I've just been.
Great. Yep, I had a mother who needed me, and you know what you say when the government calls, you answer. Mother, the one who gave birth to whatever I am.
Whatever I
am. I thought you crawled out of some cave.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily saying it isn't a big-ass mountain, but, you know. Hey, that's my mother. She may be called a... Yeah. I usually call her for a gypsy witch. Her students call her the witch. And she looks like a gypsy, so, no. Logic.
Okay, cutting that out of the recording.
Please do. Where's Chance? Should we wait for him, or is he not waking up?
Never wait for Chance, just go.
Okay, cool.
He's probably just sleeping.
Not a huge turn up today. Shall we do an...
Is this the third one now?
Third, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I think so.
Yeah, I wonder why there's such a... I mean, Saturday night, I understand, but yeah.
It's probably the post-scripting test,
I think it's a bit between Saturday night and the fact that people realize that it isn't League Heaven, and also the fact that I think Squad is turning out more and more like... basically, what's going to happen is getting more and more laid out. So
yeah, true.
Yeah, it's midsummer. Yeah. There's several things, but we'll do it pretty short. As usually, there's multiple people from. Actually, it's only extra mumbles here, I think. But just for note, Asi and Beginner are not allowed to talk. Asi also represents OWI on also the modding, because I don't think Rokard's here. So Beginner is sitting here silent and irrelevant, unless someone is naughty. The rest of you are fine, and I think we're kicking off. Yeah, regarding to topics, what the fuck happened? Okay, you guys still hear me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because yep. There was like 20 users from my TeamSpeak that died, so I figured my internet might be going down, but apparently not. As for topics, I think we start off by going through the wiki of Squad on Usku, however you pronounce your name.
Usku.
Basically, the Squad wiki is in, shall we say, dire need of some updating, and as efficient as Usku is, he cannot do it alone, and he's basically been requesting that any help needed is good, because let's face it, we all have issues with how Squad works and information not out there. I usually mention that it took me 1300 hours to realize that you could cap a neutral flag with one guy when you had neutralized the flag from the enemy. I didn't realize that. Took me 1300 hours, and I was a QA then, because I was told by Carmen Norby during a QA test. There's that. And there's a bunch of other stuff that just not very well documented, which as we're beginning to lay the groundwork on how mechanics work, there's time to start doing that so we don't have a huge backlog before or after. So any help needed, talk to Usku if you have any questions. He's the man to answer it. Usku, do you have anything else you want to say that I forgot?
Well, I'm not sure if you guys had a read. I like to write, so I wrote quite a lot. So did you guys have a look at... I tried to structure it to make it as tangible as possible in terms of what's needed and maybe what you as communities could bring to the wiki. And we started with some discussion. So I think, as with all topics, maybe any thoughts or comments from you guys. So because I wrote everything what I had in mind, so I don't want to just read it. So any thoughts from you guys?
As far as adding something?
Well, you mean adding to the wiki?
Yes.
Well, if you have a look, it's about adding, editing, but much more than just that.
We've made the announcement on our forums, and I believe some of our members have shown interest so far, so they'll get in touch with you as soon as they know more.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I don't think we need hundreds of people, but at the moment it's basically just, how do you pronounce him? Suez, and myself. And a couple of public editors that come and go and occasionally do some random editing, but in terms of a structured following a path and a goal, it's just the two of us, and there is just a lot of stuff that's 2 years old and hasn't been touched since, and so that's just too much for just one or two people.
Yeah, we've got some members that are updating our own internal Wikipedia that helps with the training courses and stuff, so it makes sense consolidating and working together on one database rather than several independent ones that are mainly clan-orientated.
Exactly, at least on that common foundation. You guys probably have more advanced stuff than a public player might be interested in, but on that common ground, I think it would be useful, I would hope, for all the clans and communities to have that solid foundation on the central wiki.
Yeah, well, and your do you have a link to that? Yours?
I don't know if it's public, but I can share the link. If it doesn't work, then I think it's obviously for members only.
Yeah.
Some of the basis is around training courses that we provide to, as you say, give an overview for Squad as well. So as you Nordic mentioned, just a general awareness of some of the features that are in Squad that may be overlooked, you take for granted.
Yeah.
So let me just find that link for you now. If it doesn't work, I apologize.
I would suspect it's not public, I guess. But we'll find out.
Yeah, I think a big way forward is maybe organizing a day or something where here's where we will write a shit ton of stuff and then have QA, maybe some devs, but definitely QA, be ready for just questions, because most of this knowledge is known by us, ticket bleed values or whatever. Like, I still know that ticket bleed values were, like, everyone thought that ticket bleed was this huge thing, but if you looked at, let's take Folsom 3, for example, there was 2 per minute, which is fucking nothing. You hold a you hold it for 30 minutes and you only bled them for 60 tickets.
Yeah, it also has been very... Oh, does it work? The wiki link works?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, here we go.
That's one part of it. And I think there's a second part, which is like a more intense for the actual training courses that we do internally. I'll see if I can find that second one for you now.
So I think I know Wikipedia does it, like writing prompts or whatever they call them. And I think that's a... that's something I know you and I talked about, Hushku, of doing server stuff, because that's, it's not perfect. The Linux guide was written quite fast and it's not perfect. And there's a lot of things that you could specify in terms of the game, and especially as game modes evolve and everything like that, AES is about to get completely outdated. So a good focus there would be good, because squad will be completely complex for someone, not as much for us, because we started back when we couldn't prone. But for those who jump in now, the learning curve is pretty hard. And especially when it comes down to meta stuff and stuff like that, like that's the most, I think that's something that needs to be more there. Purely like, hey, what do I expect when I join a game? Not just how things work. Like if you look at PR, you would get kicked from a server or from the squad if you made a squad called Tank Squad instead of Armor. Now that's a silly thing, but if you get the point, like stuff, meta stuff like this, hey, what do I actually expect when I get join a server, can help a new player a fuck ton. So I think that's stuff that should absolutely go into Wiki as well, not just pure information, but that should go into the grunt newbie thing. I did not just open a beer, I promise.
I definitely think that's a good idea, like a basic description of the game modes and what the goal is, like an invasion. Oftentimes when I play Invasion nowadays, it seems that people don't seem to understand that the defenders have a shitload of tickets, and as an attacker, you don't have a lot of tickets, so you need to really, really watch your vehicle assets and stuff like that. Like, it would be good to add that to the wiki also in the description of what the Invasion is, Invasion game mode is.
And
tell people, like, point out strats.
But shouldn't this be in the game already?
Of course. It should. But once you're in the game, you realize it while you're already pissing off people because you're standing there trying to figure out what you're supposed to do or reading the in-game tips. If you can read it on a wiki when you're on the bus home, you win a lot.
Just to clarify with that, though, a little bit, I can't say much, but there will be, at some point, a bit more information in-game when you join a server as to what the current game mode is and what the goal of it is. That's something that's being worked on.
Well, okay. Sooner than later, hopefully, but yeah.
Yeah.
I was curious, do you have anything in the works as far as, you know, a video demonstration, you know, as far as, like, you know, here's to, like, how to join a squad and what the deal is for, you know, how you'd play and, you know, this is a FOB, and just point it out to people who, you know, maybe are picking up the game?
Yeah, that's a great idea, Zilla.
Yeah. I believe that's something we're looking into, actually.
Like,
but...
have actual players, like a machinima kind of deal.
Yeah, stuff is still changing a lot, though, so I feel like we don't want to invest a huge amount in that right now, specifically, because it's going to change very soon, probably, but once it's kind of in a more set place, it might be good to have that for sure.
Yeah, and you guys have seen some of the UI changes rolling out. We have more of those coming, so, you know, like, we're at a point where, like, doing them now would mean doing them again in, you know, real soon, so.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, towards the end of the year would make a lot more sense to make all this stuff.
But yeah, a new tutorialization, stuff like that is definitely on our list of things that we absolutely need. So,
in the meantime, the wiki can really help out, though, because it's really needed. There's a lot of players, and I've noticed that the general quality of gameplay has just dropped a lot because there's a lot of new people making squads and all that on the pub servers. And I don't know what that is down to, but what I figure happened is it's a lot of new players that simply bought the game a while ago and never played it yet, version 11 drops, buddies of theirs were like, hey, let's go play. And then they just launch the game for the first time and they don't know what they're doing, make squads, etc.
You should maybe think about having like a little section like the head in PR for like training servers, like Desmos server you could have, or any other noob friendly servers you can have in like a little section in the server browser for training servers as opposed to like normal servers. That way new players, when they come into the game, they probably think to join the training server or whatever. You could label it something else other than that, but it's kind of an idea. Separate servers more. So like, in my opinion, I think different servers do different things. Like, for example, like the Mumbling server, you go there because you're mainly, you know, want to get a very competitive experience. So a lot of different servers do different things. And I think that maybe segregating the training servers or the quote-unquote noob-friendly servers might be a little bit helpful because the server browser is a bit cluttered and there's, you know, hundreds of servers possible idea.
Yeah, the server browser is actually a thing we have big communications, big talks on internally all the time. It's come down to nobody can decide which way we want to go with it, or because the whole thing is you don't want to split a community by changing around the whole server browser and everything. So
yeah, just an idea.
Actively trying to figure out how to make better, at least.
To hook into that idea and feed off a bit. Day messages, HTML pages on server joining, because a large part of that, what Doctor was talking about, can be resolved just by having the right server name. But when you join the server, it would be good to be able to see things like server rules and stuff like that, and a nice splash screen.
Yeah, just to give like people. Yeah, exactly. Just to give people like an idea of like what they're getting into, because in my opinion, like everybody's server is like a little bit different and have like their own vision of like how they want to run it and like what they see in their server. I think finding ways to like possibly like make these things a little bit more unique or helpful to people joining the server to understand like what they're joining. In a sense, like if I was a new player and I saw, you know, noob friendly server, I would probably go and click on that, or noob friendly section of servers. I'd probably go there as opposed to going to like a different, more experienced server. Could help, like, I don't know, people like take steps up and their sense of the game as opposed to just getting fed to the wolves right off the bat and joining,
something. To add to that, I mean, having the community also be able to rank their own, your own server as like, what they believe it is, or, that kind of thing, as far as they would know best, is to decide.
So like what, tagging it in some way?
Like, yeah. Experience server, or
like a reputation
veteran server or something.
You could just be reputation system, like three different, casual, competitive, RP or something, and then have it to where the max votes to win the majority, you get a little icon next to your server, like on the browser.
Would it just be easier for the server owners to set that?
Yeah, like three tags: regular, competitive, or training.
Training, casual, and competitive, I think, would be three good tags, because if I saw training and I was new, I'd probably go to the training server. But then again, that's just me.
Yeah.
Seems pretty self-explanatory.
What about, I'm sorry for interrupting, what about on custom, whenever you load in, I know I see you always, like for example, whenever you load into a modded map, it's white. I know that's a bug. But what if we server owners were allowed to create their own like server loading page? That way it can more clearly represent the rules instead of just like the broadcast out of the top left screen.
I'll interrupt here. I've been hosting servers for over 2 years now, and I do not think that anyone here can come up with something that I have not already pitched internally. And we have a ticket for a bunch of server improvements, which includes and not limited to chat logs and through Archon. And I just want to hear Art's cry of joy. And some sort of message of the day, either if it goes Counter-Strike style with a pop-up that you can edit through HTML or whatever, or something like BF4 where you had it on the loading screen, or something in the queue screen. basically a fuck ton of things have been suggested, and we'll, as soon as we have time, we'll work out this, and we'll obviously not only go with Nordic's ideas, but obviously ask the all server owners and community owners as well. But it does have low priority, and we've been through this, I think this is the third time in a row now. So we'll just, we don't have to go through it again. Basically, I know all, I know you, what you want. I pitched internally, and that's pretty much where we ended. It's getting higher on the list, but we're still pretty far down, which I'm sure most of you understand. But we only have the hour, so I'm just gonna cut it a little bit short there, since we're going out of topic on the Wiki thing. So if anyone has anything else on the Wiki, please speak now. Otherwise, we'll try to move on.
Yeah, just one thing. In terms of on the main menu right now, there's the free weekend and stuff, like a news update on when you could join, get on the game. Would there be any way of updating that message to do something about people, about promoting the Wiki a little bit more than it is right now there, and maybe aiming more traffic towards helping to edit the Wiki?
That's a good idea. Yeah, it's been noted that down.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, that should be a thing we could be able to do. I'm kind of hoping we'll get it in there for the free weekend too, so there's new player tips that help with the whole experience.
Yeah.
We should really get together and write a new newbie guide, Mishke. I'll talk to you in that. Anyway, moving on. I want to touch a little bit on Unreal Engine versions, because Unreal Engine 4.19, is it? Just got out, I think, or is it
4.20
preview is out or whatever, and I know people have been asking, because there's replication stuff from Fortnite in there and a bunch of other things that non-smart people like I don't understand. So we're just gonna touch on, oh hey, are you upgrading, whatever. I'm pretty sure that we're looking at upgrading sometime in the future. Sack someone.
Oh gosh, don't put this on me.
It is a thing that like we are casually investigating.
I will speak very lightly on it, that we I cloned 420 on my local computer what was it, Friday or whenever it dropped. There's cool stuff in there, but you know, at the same time we have other stuff to do, so, and doing an engine upgrade is quite a bit of work, so it's something the leads are gonna have to toss over, you know, what the priority is.
Before, I know one of the programmers, Mother Deer, has been looking at it, and
before 1.0, it's very likely though. It's very likely.
Yeah, I think it's a plan to go to 4.19 or 4.20 for various reasons. Is it going to happen soon? No, but yeah, that's basically the official response. I believe Will said, aka Merlin, aka CEO, was basically, we are looking into it, and that's it.
Yeah, and to reiterate, he kind of said that we're, the build we're at now was like a huge jump to get to from where we were, and we can launch with what we have here. So we have all the tools we need to get there, but we are definitely investigating upgrades and the benefits we can get there. Super excited about stuff they're doing for Fortnite. So yeah, that's definitely a possibility for the future.
If anyone doesn't have any questions about Unreal Engine, I can't answer them anyway. So we'll just move on to the actual recap and what we're actually going to discuss, and a short overlook. We're going to discuss randomized AES, we're going to discuss vehicle component damage system, turret stabilization, modding 2.0, because SAC is here so you can bomb it with all your questions. Tanks is pretty cool, I guess. Yeah, Cornet ATGM is coming. I'm not sure how much we need to touch that. Belaya, well, we have Axton. And Chance decided not to wake up, so he can't answer any questions. But we'll start.
Do we have this in list form that we can post somewhere?
The recap is kind of the what he just read, if you just look at the headers.
Gotcha.
I'll just do this. We'll start off by randomized AES. So I'll write the topics after as I can mute myself. Randomized AES, basically, not set in stone, but essentially is aimed to create replayability, especially for pub games, where you don't know, the flags are not set. They're not set the same every single time. And I believe also they will be revealed, like first you cap the first one, then you see the second one. You don't know what the second flag is before that.
I believe that's a potential feature that we're looking into, but I don't think that Fog of War is confirmed at this moment.
Okay. So then it's just randomized flags every time you switch to a map, so you don't play the same layer every single time.
That's exactly what it is. I saw it.
Yeah. Friday. Okay. Yep. Gonna help mappers a lot to not have like a fuck ton of layers, excuse my language, to correct. I know Fuss had made like 60 different layer changes or 60 different layers for V11, and some of them came out wrong, which is extremely not surprising. So that's gonna be even easier, so we don't get repair stations not working and other things. It's also going to be easier in the fact that you can just make more layers into one and a bunch of things. For those of you who's going to ask the question about what about competitive or organized play, I have confirmed with Mother that you will be able to select a specific layer in one form. It is not sure whether you can do that in a map rotation yet, but you will actually, you will at least be able to do it with admin change map. Yeah, I believe that's it. So go ahead.
What I was wondering about the randomized AAS thing was, will at round start the entire chain of caps be visible to both teams, or will they reveal as you cap?
So that's the Fog of War that we've kind of mentioned at some point. I am all for it, and I hope we can get it in. I don't know, though, however, if it's going to get in the initial V12 release. If not then maybe in a V12 patch.
I think it mostly comes down to programming time and whether it can be slotted in there or not.
Yeah, but that's something we do want to see. So, don't hold us to it for V12, but at some point we will for sure see that as an option. We want to see how it plays out. I think it'll play great because it's going to reduce the amount of times where you just blindly rush towards the same spots each time.
And will it be randomized for each stage of the capping? So, or is it a randomized layer? So it's the full layer. There's first cap is there, and the second cap is there, and third cap is there, and it's always there for that rep. But it's all randomized layers, or is it each individual thing is randomized?
Each individual flag will be randomized. Yes, it won't be. It won't be picking one of the three available. It's actually going to change every single time.
And it's very modular in that, so for this, like for Fool's Road, for example, all right, so we will always want Village to be the first cap due to there's not many other good selections there. This is just a random example. So, you can have it so that flag there will always appear at the first start, and then the other ones are randomized. So, the designer
can branch off from there.
Yeah, so the designer has full control over whether it's a randomized flag or whether it's not. So it's going to be very, it just gives us as designers a lot more ability to pick different what we want.
And main bases, what about those? Will they be in the same spot or randomized as well?
Not for V12, and we don't really have a lot of maps. Well, there's a couple maps that you could have randomized main bases, but not for V12 because the main thing is the vehicle spawns. That's a whole other thing.
However, a bunch of setup we do for the main bases.
Yeah. However, not going to say that's not out of the possibilities for going down the road.
It's just a lot more work.
Yeah.
Setting up a base is a huge pain in the ass in Squad for absolutely no reason. So it just needs to be fixed.
Yeah, so when that gets sorted, when it's just like, okay, we put the flag down and then you have all the things attached to the one flag, which I hope we eventually get, then we might get to see some randomization of the main bases, but not at the moment. Next question.
That's everything we wanted to know, apparently.
Cool.
It's not a huge topic. It's been debated so many times because it's everyone been knowing it's coming, we're just finally there. Aiming to increase replayability because, I mean, Fool's Road 3 made its first appearance in fucking version 8, which was released in no October/November 2016. It's closing in on 2 years old. Everyone knows it. Even though the meta has changed a little bit with more vehicles and other things, it's very stale. Papanov is very boring. So
yet people still put it on their map rotation. But
I like Papanov.
It's the best.
No.
People are not intelligent. I close myself.
One more quick question, though.
Shoot.
Yeah, strictly shouldn't. From like a map layer design standpoint, when you talk about sub, you can designate a flag as either being always on a layer or being random. Are you talking about putting flags in groups within a certain area of the map? Kind of think similar to, what the hell is a new game mode that's being tried out today?
Destruction?
Yeah, Destruction, that's it, thank you. Similar to Destruction, where you have a group of possible points and it will pick one of those, and then the next block will have a possible point. Is that how it's going to work? Or is it totally random throughout the whole map?
Nope, that's how it works. Yeah, so it's like, how do we describe it? As pizzas? The pepperonis? Forget it.
It's basically clusters, yeah. So like it picks a random path of clusters, and then from that cluster, it picks a random point within it, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, kind of like so how it's done in PR then. Okay.
Yeah.
So similar to PR.
The designer still gets to pick the flow. So it's not going to be like one's over here, one's over there. Like there will still be a logical flow. The designer could still make it appear to be a logical flow, but the exact capture point won't be the same each time.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
That combined with the, if we get the Fog of War, will really, I think it will give the game mode a little bit longer legs.
Well, I think that the Fog of War is a pretty important part of it because if you have the whole chain of caps revealed immediately, then the one big thing that changes is the meta, so you don't get the same like, oh, we're going to put a fob there, but you still know immediately what cap to rush to start building up your next fobs.
You are roboting, Oni. We cannot hear what you say.
I thought that was just me.
Yeah,
me too.
No, I can hear it. Yeah. He's roboting.
If internet, Oni, your internet a lot. Try checking if you're downloading or something.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, what I said was I really do hope that the Fire of War thing gets in sooner rather than later for the randomized AAS then, because I see that as a bit pretty big part of it. Because if you see the whole line of caps, even if it's not static and the same as it always is, the one big thing that changes is that you don't get the same meta fob locations and stuff like that, but you do still know what fobs you're going to rush to, so you can push up to the middle of the map and start fighting there, etc. Whereas with the Fog of War thing, you'd kind of be forced to move through the map in a wave and secure areas, so it would really change gameplay up.
Yep, agreed and noted. All right, anything else? If anybody...
Yeah, I'd like to tack on one thing that, and also ask a quick question. So one tack on that, I'm in total agreement. I think this whole like Fog of War thing is amazing. Please confirm it already. But that said, on the whole, I think that's also a perfect example where it probably would be nice to have it without Fog of War for a version or two, just so that the player base can adjust, especially because of what other people are doing and other topics about. So many people are so in the dark right now. There's been so many people, new people coming in. And it'd be nice to have people get used to, hey, I don't know where the next flag is. Oh, now I can't see it, instead of especially like us who SL all the time and usually end up training people on the free weekend being like, hey, that thing you read, that's wrong. Here's how this works now. Yeah.
Yeah. I personally think it might be a good idea to have them separated out into two modes, even just to have one for Fog of War or random AS and one just regular random AS.
Or just like a server option or something.
Yeah, please server option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, selection of map layer. Fogged, non-fogged.
Yep. And that kind of leads into my quick question I wanted to insert in real quick there. Server, like for the actual layers we get server side, is it going to, is the plan there to like kind of standardize it so that there's a British versus Russian layer, a US versus Russian layer, et cetera, and then they're just all randomized, like basically layers become an indication of what factions you're playing? Is like that, is that kind of?
Yes, in terms of factions being swapped, no, that's not going to happen. So yes, there will at some point or some way be that you know which factions are playing. and whether you get a fixed one per map, or so AES is always US versus Russia on fools, or if you're going to have the multiple option, that is comes down to what's possible and also what Fosshead wants.
Yeah, it depends on the map too. Some maps are really suited for certain factions. Some are more variable. So there may be on certain maps, this is mostly at the Fuzz actually, but there may be like a random AS V1 and V2 for different faction matches.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, like you're saying, so V1 you can always think of as US versus Russia, etc. I don't think we're necessarily going to do that with the versioning. But yeah, like Norik said, it would be ideal in the server browser to be able to see instantly which factions are fighting. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Love that.
Yeah. And should also note that some things are very, like, if we take the war game layer or whatever Camdish Infantry is called, I've seen half the player base absolutely hate it because it's unrealistic and US is never going to fire at UK. And I've also seen their other half loving it because it's fun and whatnot. So comes into play. So maybe they don't want Russia fighting militia in Narva because it's never going to happen.
That Camdish layer is the best seeding layer in the game right now.
It is.
That's exactly what we created it for, too.
But, yeah, but it comes down to opinions. But it obviously making different layers with different factions has, even if it's US versus British, has the option that if you do not like it, do not play it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it basically comes down to that. But people will always find something to whine about.
I wish we could have a mod to mod in the Miles gear, like the laser Miles gear. So we just and just say fuck it.
Yeah.
And then add a new death animations instead of ragdolls, so that you have like guys that
they just sit down.
Death. Yeah, they just stomp their feet.
Like paintballs explode on the flak jacket. You know.
Yes.
We already have the thumbs up bug. We could just use that some more.
Exactly. And also, all 100 players should be in a different faction, so we can do something called like something never no one has ever done, like everyone against everyone. What's called Battle Royale, I think.
Yeah.
Battle Royale.
Someone should make a mod.
Just deathmatch.
Isn't that just deathmatch?
It'd be terrible. Everyone would be flipping their vehicles.
Anyway, unless someone has anything else about random AES, I saw iMac wondering, will it be labeled like Fool's Road AES and we won't know which layer it is? Don't know. Expect more information to come. Because the last time I talked to Mother Deirdis, who is the guy making a random AES, he and I discussed how to solve that. So we don't know. And that's it. That's it.
I missed the start, so apologies if it's already been asked. But with you guys going down the random AS route, which I love for public, but don't like for comp, are you still planning on doing more stuff
you
to
will
normal
be able
AS
to
and keeping
which
it?
Layer. Yes, you will be able to choose a specific layer. If that's cool. What you're asking.
Is there plans to continue normal AS development at all?
Fuss?
Yeah, it's a good... That's a good question. I think when it makes sense to do so, it's not going to be the number one thing, though, that we focus on, I don't think, once random AS comes in. But definitely, you know, we want to make sure the competitive guys still have awesome layers to play on. So it can kind of come also from the community, right? Like, you guys are like, all right, we want a specific AS layer on this map, and we can definitely accommodate that. I think for the newer map coming out, we'll probably have a static layer for it. So, but like you said, it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to be creating hundreds of static layers for the maps in the future, right? Because this is kind of consolidating the manpower into more emergent game modes where they're a little more randomized and dynamic. So yeah, the AES has been the focus for the last, you know, X amount of years. It's not going to be in the future. It's not like AES static as you see now will not be the focus in the future, but we won't be getting rid of it entirely. hopefully, if that, you know, we can get some other game modes too that competitive guys actually like to play, right? Because I know they don't like invasion, but maybe we can get some other game modes that they'll like to play.
So the vehicle component damage system, take it away, Nordic.
Vehicle component damage system, which is going to be the second part of the new vehicle system, where you can, easiest thing is just to see, you can shoot the tracks off a vehicle and now it can't move. It can still shoot you to shit, but it can't move. Shown very simple with fuel canisters shown on the BTR. It doesn't show up on the outside, but if you know where to shoot it, you heard it a fuck ton. And that's obviously going to be turrets, ammo, depots, engines, tracks, vehicles, not limited or specifically those things, but there are the examples. That's going to be basically, I mean, it's no surprise, it's been talked for as long as I've known Squad, and we're finally getting there, basically.
Well, something be the ability to repair it.
Yes.
Yes, there will be field repair for crewmans.
Is it going to be like kind of like Sniper Elite Catastrophic Failure, or something like a GL gets a hold of, like, you know, shoots it into the gas canister or something?
No.
Yeah, okay, good.
So likely, how the ammo store is, like, the ammo store is like the kind of a unique. It's going to probably be a very low percentage of times that you hit the ammo store that it actually causes a catastrophic destruction. It won't be, okay, I aim at this specific part of the vehicle and every single time it destroys that vehicle catastrophically, because that would just, that's not good. So it would be, you know, X percentage of times you get that ammo store low, it creates this catastrophic destruction, right? It's not going to be, it's just going to be something that happens on occasion with the ammo store, that component completely. But for the repairing, yeah, we're looking at about, right now, the plan is 25% repairs with the crewman's repair tool, whatever that ends up being. So you're able to bring your vehicle back to 25%, but nothing, you have to go back to a repair station to get fully back up and running. But you're able to mobilize, like, if you're immobile, the repair tool will be able to get you mobile again.
But you have to go out, yeah, from the vehicle to repair it.
Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So you're exposed.
And it will be possible to knock out the driver, gunner, or the squad inside the vehicle without destroying it?
Like penetrating through the vehicle?
Yep.
Like armored vehicles?
Yep.
I don't think it's an impossibility, but that's not the plan at the moment.
Copy.
Basically, it would be cool to shoot the back of a striker and kill the infantry inside it, but considering how seats work and how hard it is just to make sure they don't get killed by fucking small arms, and I'm not kidding, if I think Drav had, I don't know, 10 rounds in the BTR to get it right for V11, because people were sitting outside, they would be able to kill by small arms, and they were not visible, or whatever visible outside. I mean, you all saw the warrior people sitting on top of in V11.0s, so we didn't even get it right there. It's freaking horrible. It's not as easy as it sounds, so the chance of that down the line, not coming soon, I'm pretty damn sure.
And right now, you can still kind of kill people, because I think the is it the MTLB
has you gonna the put, gunner. Are you gonna post exploits here in my route table first? Gonna have a problem here.
Everybody knows.
But yeah, so I would not count on it coming soon, and I say that as a person who only plays the game as well.
Yep. It would be cool, but at the same time, it's a design nightmare. It's a programming nightmare, one, and a design nightmare, two, because, you know, we don't want these vehicles to be just instantly useless. So yeah, it's not a high priority. Let's put it that way.
Okay, because I was pretty scared of it.
Oh, just, okay.
It's a fine balance.
It's fine. If we get that, I'm going to scream, cry, and shout until I get slat armor and cages around every single vehicle.
Yeah. That's actually something cool. We could potentially do, not promising anything, but we could potentially get those reactive armor blocks on the T-72, for example, based on the component damage.
Yeah, and slat armor.
Slat armor on a striker. Yeah. There hasn't been a single striker deployed to in the Middle East without slat armor.
Without slat. Yeah.
And same comes with our Abrams and whatnot.
Yeah, looking at the testing they've been doing is pretty cool. It's going to be, if they manage to get it working, it'll be really cool.
Anything else on vehicle component damage systems?
So, yep. Oh, go ahead, Big Jimmy.
I don't see what's first, but yeah.
Okay. Just to clarify, Fuzzhead, you said that the ammo dump or like the ammo like inside of the vehicle, that's just gonna be percentage value of chance, not location based.
It's going to be location based as well as likely. It's not going to be you destroy the ammo and it blows up catastrophically every single time. It's you know what I mean? Because like if you know the location of the ammo in each vehicle, that just means you just shoot at that one spot and boom, every single time, right? We're going to, this is all very early stages, right? But we're not going to make it so that it's extremely easy to blow up vehicles. The whole, not the whole purpose, but a large purpose of enabling the component system is so that vehicles actually increase their survivability. So they're more likely to be disabled on the field, but health-wise, they're going to be more survivable on the field.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you for elaborating.
If we're going to elaborate a little bit on damage and systems, I can say that I am personally trying to influence me as much as possible and Ross that infantry cannot kill vehicles at all. They can disable them, movement-based, and they can disable turrets, they can't shoot, they can't do shit, but not actually kill them. And that is coming from me as QA, but mostly as a... as a normal player, that's something I would like to see. So you can disable a vehicle, they can't move, can't do shit. Either way, crew has to go and repair, or if you're swarming it with infantry, they have to call in something. But to actually finish it, you need to call in your close air support, your tanks, or your ATGMs. That's something I'm hoping for. Not sure what the rest of you think about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think vehicles are way, way too weak right now, guys. They're like pieces of butter. It's like I don't even I don't even bring them out.
Yep.
Like,
if you want to win. What's going to need to be happen? If you want to see mechanized infantry and vehicles coming in close, that's what's going to happen. Because as long as a single lat or hat can hide somewhere and just kill your tank or vehicle straight out, anyone who's interested in winning are not going to have those vehicle close. And it's pretty damn cool when APCs roll up with you and everything, but.
Yeah, and a scrim I had last night, I brought out a Bradley in the opener and completely surrounded by our infantry and one hat hiding in a freaking bush blew up our Bradley just from hit. Like, that should not happen, in my opinion. I think it's a 25-ticket asset and just one infantry can, I don't know.
That's
like
in Korra,
I didn't even bring out a 30 mic because it's 20 tickets. And
I mean, speaking from a perspective of realism as well, often when hit with AT in real life, vehicles don't just instantly explode. They're mostly killed by their mobility or their gun goes down or something. You know, ammo cookoffs aren't that common.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Or the crew gets killed.
Aside from armor, would like vehicles like basic Jeeps and everything have their tires deflated if infantry were to hit them? Or
I mentioned that in the text channel. Okay. That's something they were looking into, to have like deflated tires and tires that pop off and stuff. But we're not sure if the physics model that we're using can actually handle that. So like there will be mobility kills for them in some manner, but whether or not individual tires will be able to be popped or popped off is, you know, we're looking into it.
I think right now the focus is on the armored vehicles for the component damage.
Yeah,
because as I said, a
non-armored vehicle would never be very relevant. You're not going to roll into a town guns blazing with a techie unless you're like dying. But especially when we get to maps like Fallujah, you're going to want your vehicles in close to have those cool city battles. But I mean, how many here has had a successful vehicle round on Narva where you actually were in the town fighting? I bet none of you have.
You can't do it.
Especially, you can't do it. It's just someone hiding in a window and then crouches up, shoots, and you don't even have time to react before you're dead.
Yeah, strikers are like one hit in the back and they're dead. It's like why even bring them anywhere? Like, why would you even transport your infantry? Exactly. Like, why wouldn't you just walk? You're a lot more productive that way. I don't know. Vehicles need to be. Hopefully, this new system it fixes that, because right now it's a lot of my vehicle guys don't even want to play vehicles because it's so like either it's really boring or it's just not even worth it because. Yep. You know, you might as well solo vehicles again because you're wasting two people to sit and, you know, basically guard 300 meters off the actual battle.
Yeah, and as you said, you can have 360 surround with whatever, but a hat kit with zeroing, I mean, you can sit in a bush and fire that from 200 meters out. I've seen Asi do it a ton of times. It's not super hard, and anyone who's played AT a lot is going to succeed. And personally, not really what I'm looking for when I'm seeing combined arms. I'm not really interested in stuff just sitting away. I want to have them up close.
Hopefully, it'll bring back the vehicle.
Just seem to be a lot of counters against infantry with rockets. You know, you have your smoke, but that's only that effective if your gun is looking in that particular direction.
Simple counter, or not really a counter, but thermals on vehicles. At first, I was very strongly against them, but now with how things have changed in regards to vehicle component damage and everything and how they're going to change, I think that it's more of a necessity now than anything else. Like, it's going to be needed, because if you have a vehicle, even if you can't get destroyed and you can get disabled, you're talking about driving up with infantry and going in the fight, that's still going to be useless if you get smacked and you get tracked or whatever, and all you can do is shoot your gun, and all they have to do is get a second lad in and disable your gun. Like, it still would make the vehicles too mushy if they don't have a way to spot really quickly.
Mm-hmm. As Fuss said, it's just hitting one rocket at the track isn't going to 100% track it every single time.
No,
there will be half skill and a little bit of luck to get that critical hit, as it is in real life. I've seen Swedish combat vehicle 90 take it in RPG-7 to the tracks of it and just not give a shit. But vehicles definitely, I think we all can agree, they don't have a huge place in the battlefield right now.
Yep,
which is a shame.
And I think the stabilizer will also play a huge role being able to shoot while being on the move. And like Orny just said, is the thermal. I had the same opinion in the beginning that thermals was completely unnecessary. It would make the vehicles way too OP because there was no localized damage. But now that's a thing, it feels like it's almost a requirement just so your vehicle has any chance to survive.
Especially if those thermals turn into one of those systems that can be knocked out too.
Yeah, there's it's been like the overall thing is that infantry is not going to be just target practice for vehicles unless you've succeeded in the way of creating that. Yeah, if you take out all the enemy AA assets and whatever, your cast will absolutely shit on you. But it should, because you've lost all your shit and the enemy team won strategically, so then you should get wrecked. But it won't be that you're just like target practice for vehicle stuff. I don't think anyone wants that, but it also wants better than it is now. And we can jump into turret stabilization, as they are pretty much the same thing. But that's also, you saw the prototype. Not sure if it makes it into V12, as we tested it for before V11 even. Looks good. Handles like shit. If you ever had input lag, try like have 1 second input lag, and that's how a stabilized turret feels right now. So it's a little bit work to be done. But that's something that's coming, obviously, and that's going to do a huge thing, absolutely, for vehicles.
Because we're still talking about localized damage, I don't want to divert onto.
Oh, we're talking about both. We're just going to have vehicles in one topic because they interact so much with each other.
Yep, and everything's related to each other. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about the stabilization thing. So in real life, you've got two different types of gun stabilization on turrets. one of them locks onto whatever target you're visually looking at, and it tries to correct and keep on aiming at that target. The other one tries to just maintain the same relative direction that your turret was facing in vector and elevation. I wonder if when you do add stabilization, will it just be a universal system that is the same on every vehicle, or will it match up with the real world counterpart?
Basically what you want.
You cut off.
Basically what you're wondering is if lasing and a target is going to be a thing, is that correct?
Yeah, essentially. The idea of lasing a target, because some VICs will have that where you can just, as long as the stabilization is on, no matter where you drive, everything you shoot go tracks, to the same spot. Yeah.
I don't know, Fuss.
Well, currently, just the first version of your of the stabilization is what's planned, which is being able to see roughly in the same direction as you're aiming.
Right.
The lasering is it's not like a feature that's currently being made, but we definitely, you know, we are aware of the two different kinds of stabilization, and it would be kind of cool, especially for the tanks, to have this option. If we can get that in for V12, we will, but I wouldn't bet on it. You know what I mean? The baseline is we need some form of turret stabilization for tanks.
Yep.
That's absolute, right? Whether we get the the true lasering version of it for tanks or not, for V12, I don't know, but yeah, that's a long-term goal, definitely. If not for this version, then for the next to get the tanks with their actual stabilization system. You know, and like things like, for example, the commander presses a button and then his gunner can lock onto him. We probably won't do it that way because that's kind of like crappy for the gunner, but some way for the gunner and the commander to talk, to communicate without talking VoIP, to mark targets so they can quickly lock in on target, would be.
Yeah, I believe what was being talked about was like having it so that way the gunner could press a button and then their view would snap to whatever the commander's looking at.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Rather than, because right now I think it's the other way around in real life.
In real life, the commander presses
the other way around. But
we want it to be cool for the gunner, not to be like he's a slave.
Because it would be extremely frustrating if you're shooting stuff and then your gunner says, "Hey, look here," or your commander says, "Hey, look here."
I can see the fight happen.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we're trying to make it.
And that's still realistic. It's just switching roles. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's the, and if in realism aspect, it's just the classical gameplay over realism. Yeah. I'm going to be a little bit Nazi here and move on because we're coming up on the hour already, which I didn't realize. We got to speed up a little bit, then you're free to talk, whatever, but we got to try to keep it on the hour. So we'll leave vehicles for now. We're jumping click to modding 2.0. Finally, Linux gets included. Jay, for those who don't want to pay a Windows license and give Microsoft money, I support all of you. Do you want to say anything, Zach?
He's went to bed.
Here, is he? Oh, yeah.
Come on, Zach, wake up. No, it's not even. It's only 3 o'clock.
Zach!
He's at lunch.
Fucking hell. Oh, well, modding 2.0 is going to be the good thing about modding, where you will be able to not have to tab out to subscribe to mods, and I don't know if in-game downloads is a thing, I believe, but basically making modding more mature than it is right now. In terms of whitelist mods, was discussed actually recently. And I don't think anyone was really against it. It was more the fact that we can't do it now because having to play on a modded server is quite hard. So will licensed servers be able to run mods? Maybe. I mean, I personally offer to QA mods and to make sure, because we don't want a naked soldiers or naked female soldiers mod on our licensed servers for obvious reasons. But I offered to QA mods or have some sort of, you like, you submit, hey, I'd like to have my mod whitelisted and you need to go through it. So performance isn't shit. Maybe we do a modding recap, or we did. Maybe test them there so performance doesn't go to hell and stuff like that. That's being talked, but nothing is decided. So don't take that as it's promised. And other than that, it's just another next big step to modding. That's yep. I don't think there's too much to know about that unless someone has a very quick question. Cool. I'm moving on to tanks. You've seen the Abrams. It says it's an M1A1, but it's actually an M1A2. However relevant that is. And you've seen the T-72, and as Fuss said, reactive armor is not confirmed for it, I believe.
Not confirmed, but
yeah,
a hopeful feature.
Nice to have.
Based on,
based on. Maybe we'll do it in a possible to do in a hacky way that maybe your rocket doesn't do shit because you got hit by like a percent luck based thing because reactive armor took it or something. It's yeah. So
it could always just be a higher armor value as well. It'll just be
exactly. So any thoughts, questions about tanks in terms of thermals? Not decided. Can't say much.
I got one. How do you plan to counter tanks? So like in PR, like you have CAS, like is there plans to counter, like you have jets and helicopters that can damage tanks, but obviously we don't have that in squad. So like when you implement tanks, like how do you plan to balance them? Because without all that stuff, PR, they'd be OP.
Your own tanks. So I doubt we'll see a lot of layers. And if US plays versus Insurgents, they might have an Abrams, but Insurgents will have a fuck ton of other things to counter it, SB units, whatever. There's ATGMs coming, HAP kits, stuff like that. Like, is it going to be perfect balance from the beginning? No, I'm impressive if Fuss had managed to do that, and Ross. Because we're adding assets as we go.
Yeah, for sure. I was just curious.
It's the classic. They'll do their best. Fuss, do you want to add anything?
Definitely, the first round it's not going to be perfectly balanced, but yeah, you'll have TOWs, which is actually, they're still going to be as deadly to tanks as they are to the other vehicles, so that's a very big thing. And the tanks and the other tanks, but yeah, eventually we'll hopefully have all the, as many of the PR assets as possible, because yeah, it's great to have options.
I have a question with burn tanks.
Go ahead.
So how many crews will you be able to have in tank? Will you be able to have a driver, a gunner, and a commander?
Yes.
Machine gunners or alike or anything like that?
So likely it'll be the driver will be a seat, gunner will be a seat, commander will be a seat. You can get away with, just like PR, you can get away with just a driver and a gunner. You know, so if you have a lack of personnel on your team, that's fine. But a commander will add another set of eyes and more options for the tank for capabilities. Whether there's a fourth seat, you know, with like a loader's machine gun or not, probably not. But, you know, there's always a possibility. But you're never going to have four guys in a tank. Like, it would just be like, all right, you know, the driver wants to get in a gun and the commander wants to get in a gun kind of thing. So it's.
I think they're playing around with having a crow system on the Abrams, for example, that commander gets it. So yeah, yes. you can go stationary and the driver can switch to the commander, or you can go with three people and you'll be more efficient than the two man tank, but you'll get away with two man tanking. Don't expect one man tanking to be a thing.
No,
I will make it happen.
You say you will make it happen.
Just let me know. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Life finds a way.
He one man a warrior and shat on my BTRs and I'm still sad. but yeah, so that thing. So basically, three man going to be the more efficient if you manage the teamwork to handle. It's also the fact that the more players you are and everyone is not playing with their clan, like the ones of us here are, the less effective it gets because three different minds, three different cultures, three different people behind the screen, etc. But yeah, the overall rule, I guess, that Fuss and Ross has talked about is 3 men is more efficient, 2 men you can get away with.
So,
correct me if I'm wrong.
Quick question. So are there going to be like maps to facilitate this asset? Like, are we going to get more maps? Because I can't imagine, you know, tanks on Samari, for example.
Samari is not built for tanks. Gordon is going to have tanks. Yeo is going to have tanks. Kohot can have tanks.
Oh, God.
Can have tanks.
Bazaar will probably have tanks as well. Just to tell you now, though, I'll give you one leak. The next map is specifically built to be very good for tank gameplay. That's the idea behind it. So there will be maps that you will be able to play tanks on and have fun with.
Okay.
Gee, I wonder which map you're talking about.
I wonder.
And you can have a tank or Narva as long as it's not vulnerable to a single hat kit. You can definitely have a tank or Narva because you know you shoot a big ass round into a building and say bye bye infantry.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is there plans for? I hate to keep asking questions, but I'm just trying to. I'm curious. But like for HE rounds, it'd be more effective for, you know, I don't know, for vehicles. And are there going to be more factions? Like, because right now all I'm seeing is like America versus Russian, and there's your tanks. And I'm not ungrateful by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just trying to understand the future for the game, because I see PR and I see the Chinese and I see the Germans. Are there plans to expand and go that route, or are we just kind of keeping it for what we have now and then like after 1.0?
Factions is a maybe. Nothing confirmed publicly and nothing confirmed to what I know either. But you're asking, is the only US, Russia, UK getting tanks? Militia, totally not Chechen rebels, use T-72s. So obviously, since militia isn't Chechen and rebels, I mean, who would think that? They might get them. Hashtag, they will get them. Insurgents used tanks, shit ones, but they did it. I do not think only the conventional factions will get tanks.
Okay. Yeah, there's plans. There's plans to continue expanding the arsenal just in general with more stuff overall, but that might be like a long-term goal. So it's just an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I was just curious.
It's already been confirmed that a 1.5 thing is version 1.5 is happening. I believe was Commander not said to be after 1.0? Fire teams was a after 1.0, I think.
Yeah, I think
Merlin talked about this.
Yeah, in the AMA, that was true.
And yeah. Iron Taxi, he kind of had a lot to say on this kind of, because it was more general business questions for his thing yesterday. If you guys want to watch that, he does give some insight into everything. But essentially, he's saying the way things have gone now, squad will be supported two years from now. You know what I mean? Like, we're not, you know, at the end of the year, we're not going, all right, that's it. Game is over.
Yeah,
you know?
Post-launch content is absolutely a thing. That's just plain old going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the whole thing has been from the start to remember their roots and support the modding community. So will OWI make China? No, probably not, because that would make the game very hard to sell in China. Anyone who's ever heard about anything about China knows that. So I highly doubt that's the thing, because that would make the Chinese market very hard. I played Dota, and you should see the Chinese client compared to the other client. Half the heroes have different icons and whatnot. So that's obviously a thing. If they would make out China, they could never be the aggressor faction and a bunch of other shit rules. Are they going to go in more? But if I don't see a Chinese faction mod, I believe there already is one, I would be extremely surprised. So
I was just curious. Yeah. You want to implement these assets and
would a fair summarization of what you're saying is, and I might be putting too many words in your mouth, so please stop me, correct me, that you'd rather, it seems like the design direction is you'd rather have like a relatively smaller number of like very well-rounded, fully fleshed out like factions and leave the rest, like leave the like the range, the breadth up to modding. Is that kind of a fair
modding will be
OWI makes a lot of the systems and makes them good. Modding will be thus making content. But that doesn't mean that, like, there will always be a vanilla squad, because you don't want to send a fresh player straight into a mod and he realizes, like, hey, the gun, whatever, the HK-417 is absolute shit. I've used it. It's not like this. The modder made it dog shit. So vanilla squad will always be balanced by Fuss and Russ and in a specific way. And modders will be able to play with whatever they want. But as I said, there's been talked of whitelist modding and everything. And how that route goes, I don't think that's decided. So I don't think you can say much. But obviously,
yeah, modding's there to take risks that we can't take and to do things that we wouldn't necessarily do that people are willing to kind of try out themselves and see if people really like it.
And just don't have time to do. I mean, there are only so many artists.
And the thing to remember as well is, like, if you're, because I'm assuming what you're thinking of here, Doctor, is probably like Project Reality, where they have tons and tons of factions and they're all fully fleshed out and everything. And the thing to remember with that is PR's been around for like more than a decade now, and they had a complete game to start off of that was like, you know, fully furnished and had all the features ready for them.
Oh, absolutely.
That's also,
so it's just like an ongoing thing.
I was just curious as to your guys' vision, you know, way down the line, if you guys planned on, you know, making more factions or if you had, because,
well,
I don't know.
Let's just remember here for a while that Koken, Mestja, Basra, all three maps, like, what's that? Like, 15% of the map pool made by modders. Asi got his Obsar scope into the game that's now on the AKA, the Russian Red Dot. How much else mod faction is it actually in the game? Ammo crates. The Russian ammo crates are made by the Russian community.
Did they get props from modders?
Sorry, Axon?
A bunch of props from modders too.
Yeah, exactly. So there's tons of stuff that's already been implemented into game. That's not going to suddenly change, I believe.
Yeah, I think the best way to put it is we want to do as much as we humanly can, but we're super excited about seeing what everybody else adds to squad too.
Yeah, you know, for sure. I was only curious, guys. I think you guys are doing an excellent job. I just wanted to see where you guys kind of see the game in a, you know, 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. We want to keep it growing. We want to see that too. Everybody kind of on the team has their own favorite faction, so everybody is kind of arguing for what, you know, like what they can do in their spare time and stuff like that too. So.
And also, you need a Nordic faction. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Moving on. Gonna go back to Nazi Nordic again. Balaya update. Basically, gameplay on Balaya isn't super fun because it's scope heaven, and if you're trying to move in the hills, you die if you get so much as spotted. Axton and Chance is now fixing that, so Balaya.
Oh yeah, we fixed it. It's done.
Yep, it's done. It's just done. It becomes a good map. You can see the minimap. A bunch of roads has also been deleted. Hopefully Train Tunnel doesn't suck anymore. It actually didn't after the FOB fix got in. It was horrible.
Well, for Train Tunnel, we did a couple things. Actually, the overall foliage is way denser now, which will hopefully help with the lead up to it, so you're not getting sniped from on top of that hill. And then we also, there's a bunch of like ruined fortifications on the top of the hill there now, so you'll hopefully have a more fun time fighting around there. And I think Chance was talking with Fuzz at one point also about extending the cap there to be outside the tunnel on the top as well, so you can cap from being on the hill rather than just inside the tunnel.
Yeah. Yep. And there's there's only one layer. I think there's a couple layers that don't include the train tunnel. So
yeah, I know.
Actually,
you
train tunnel wasn't as bad. Train tunnel wasn't as bad as we got in. The problem was in V10 that the FOB timer didn't go up. So you could just make a FOB. You could constantly spawn and spawn and spawn. It doesn't matter if the whole fucking enemy team is above you. You could still spawn.
Yeah.
Now when the FOB run over mechanic is there, train tunnel wasn't as bad anymore. Because if you let them like stand on top of it, you couldn't spawn and
it's kind of like hilltop.
Exactly. So it wasn't a huge issue. I kind of liked it in the end there, and I.
You're gonna like it more now, Nord. We're gonna make you like it.
Everyone hear that threat? This is what I'm living. This is what I'm living with.
I don't have anything
fucking
to fear.
HR is a sword fighter. See, I have issues. Anyway. Belaya, not... Oh, welcome back, Zach.
Yeah, no, I got a phone call, sorry.
It's not like you missed the fucking modding 2.0 thing where you were actually relevant. Well,
yeah, I got a phone call. Sorry. Right. I couldn't even be working today. I could leave right now.
Yeah, dude, bye. No, but seriously, Belaya's going to be pretty. Zach, when you're here, do you want to say anything about modding 2.0? Don't mute yourself now, dumbass.
Oh, no, I'm here still. I'm on my laptop, so I have speakers.
Okay. Do you want to say anything about modding 2.0?
I can say some stuff. So Linux servers are finally going to work, and that's what people have been begging for. and then, you know, there's some other stuff. I just don't want to say it all right now. But that's the big one for you guys. Linux mods are going to run on Linux now, so you don't need Windows servers anymore.
As much as I do.
Yeah. Oh, we're also looking into whitelisted mods and stuff like that. So that's like there's a real possibility that can be happening sometime soon.
And in-game cool. downloading?
Or oh no, that works. That's working on my system right now.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go.
That's actually sometimes useful. I know it's very hard to imagine, but he actually is.
That's awesome. I was taking a look at your Trello the other day, and like it's surprisingly empty now on the have to do list.
Everything is either doing or done.
Nice. Yep. So that's a cool thing. And with that, we are officially done. Unless someone want to say something about Belaya.
I do.
Shoot.
This
closing
is kind
the round table. Choose your words.
This is kind of about Camdash and Belaya. And I feel that because they're really similar, but like cosmetically they're not. But like from a design standpoint, they're really similar.
I know what
in
you
the
mean.
Fact that, and I like cosmetically like love them, but they kind of they're a little bit sort of repetitive, and they kind of lack the unique locations and the unique flow through the map that some of the older maps have.
Yeah, that's something that Chance and I talked a lot about during the development of both of them, actually. More during Camdash, because I wasn't super on Belaya when he was doing it. But yeah, basically, they are very uniform, in a sense. They're very kind of samey between different locations. And that's something that you know, we fully acknowledge. Part of that is because of the timeline that they were created on. We didn't necessarily have time to get the environment team working on like specific unique locations for it. And part of it was just like a kind of a philosophy we had, which it seems to work okay for gameplay, but it does make everything feel a little bit samey. Yeah. And in that sense, it's difficult in some cases to design asymmetrical areas with big, you know, points of interest. Like think of Yeho with the big factory cap. That is not necessarily so well received often, and that's kind of the symptom of that when it goes bad, is that you get big points of interest like that end up being really annoying, and because they're a point and people don't like them, then people end up not liking the map itself, because they associate the map with
factory,
that point.
He means storage, but
yeah, storage site, whatever.
Which
you think I'm a mapper who knows names? Yeah, but yeah, that's basically what it was. Is we didn't wanna worry about that because we had kind of short timelines for those maps, so we just wanted to make sure that they were as fun as possible for what we could do with them.
Is that 4 months? Accent? 4 months for that?
I think Camdash was actually closer to 2 months.
2 months.
My personal thing about Camdash is that it's cool, but villages are too small. They should be
That was something
five
we thought about
the size
as well.
Would be absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I wanted to have. Well, I know your dream is to have what is it, Sumari on Kohat or whatever.
That doesn't need to happen, but you can make your Sumari Sumari size on Camdash.
Kind of like black gold from PR.
Ah, but seriously, it would be stupid cool to fight in a forest and then you go into the city and the city is like maybe as big as Sumari or Old Sumari, and it's just two flags or stuff like that.
I'm personally interested in making some of the villages bigger for sure. Chance actually is not so much because he likes the kind of gameplay of more of the gameplay in his mind should be off of the point where you're trying to surround it, flank it, you know, maneuver around it.
Chance is from the outback, so he
basically Chance likes more open ground.
You shouldn't listen to Australians.
I play with Chance on Camdash nearly every day, and I agree with what he says. But I still think there needs to be some sort of unique places that, like, it needs to change as you flow through it. So, like, a bigger village.
Yeah, the thing
like,
is, like, several points can be, several points can be small and fighting in the woods, and I love that as well. But then you can also add a big village that's at least one thing, so you get both. Because right now, on any layer, it's basically there's scopes outside shooting into the village until Insurgents gets boxed in on their hab. Yep. And once they're boxed in on the hab, everyone smokes, storms it, game's over.
Yeah, no, I've played quite a few rounds of Game Dash at this point, and that's pretty much the same experience I have. And it's quite fun for a while, but yeah, it gets very repetitive, which is exactly what Steve was talking about too. Is it needs to feel a bit different, and that's I fully agree with that. Chance has his own ideas with it. However, he's not here, so I can just shit on him right now.
Chance has bad opinions.
Yeah, he's not here, so he can't defend himself. I personally would like to just go in and add some more to Kamdesh, because we just, like I said, we didn't have the time to do stuff like that, but a bunch of maps at this point have gotten 2.0s, and we're working on a Yeho Redux as well, so I see no reason why we couldn't go back and add more to Kamdesh as well.
I think part of the reason too, a Kamdesh repetitiveness or sameness is, and this isn't actually a bad thing, but it's the elevation is very flat, right? Mm-hmm. So most maps have a lot of elevation. This is one of the few smaller maps or larger maps that does not. But yep. That's actually its strength, but that means the sameness can really be apparent.
Yeah, that was something, like actually when we originally conceived of the map, we always wanted it to be similar to Operation First Light with the way the hills are. So it's kind of like rolling hills, but lots of trees and foliage in them. But we wanted it to be sort of the entire map was like that, but then it was also on a large slope. So it was kind of the side of a mountain as well. Yeah. And it would have been fantastic, but it didn't end up being that way because performance mostly.
Yeah, unfortunately. The slope would have gave you too much.
Yeah, it would have had way too much draw distance. So yeah, that's pretty much why. That's just a technical limitation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I like it. I just think it needs like an open area where the terrain, like the bush changes in like density or just something just to change it up as you go.
Yeah, a clear cut or like a section that's of an open meadow somewhere.
Like some farm.
I'm just gonna overrule everyone. We're coming up on 80 minutes. We need to officially close.
It's gonna take forever to upload.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for everyone for coming. For those who stick around, there might be a Q&A. I'm not sure how many devs are sticking around. Fusset probably wants to talk for an hour, and since he's a very enthusiastic guy, I'm not sure we're getting rid of Axton either.
I'll be here.
Sack is never useful, so I'm sure he will take off.
Burn.
I will stay here just for you now.
And I'm not sure if Gatsby is around me, if you want to tickle his beard, but thanks everyone for cut. Thanks for everyone for coming, and
meet us next month.
Yeah.
Yep, same time next month.
Exactly.
Well, not actually month. Same time, but close enough. Well,
technically, whenever the recap happens, we'll figure it out.
Exactly.
or whatever it is.
it took a week after the recap because Gatsby smashed down the recap and didn't say anything to me to organize this. So feel free to blame Gatsby. But other than that
came together real quick. It was a surprise.
God, I can make so many jokes on that, but Axton is still recording. Thanks everyone for coming. I'm sure there will be a recap in terms of text form by Gatsby. Axton will upload the audio. And with that, Axton can stop his recording. And now we can go into a little QA session.
Are we going to the leaks? Here, the leaks.
Exactly.
Now all right, party. Recording is stopped. Let's party.
Came together real fast with no planning.